It's a privilege to have Mr. Reagan back again this morning. He's preached for us a couple of times, and if you would, just extend him a warm welcome as he brings us the word that God has given him this morning. So come on up, bud.
Thank you, Steve. Good morning. Steve always has the most beautiful, heartfelt prayers, doesn't he? I always enjoy his prayers. It's great. Speaking of prayer, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we are grateful that you've given us another day to be yours. It's a wonderful thing being yours. Thank you for this church, for the people who are your body, the body of Christ. Thank you for allowing us to be here, to worship, to hear your word. We just pray that you would open our hearts now that we can hear your truth in a way that maybe it's just a little different than we've heard it before, that will bring the joy and peace and happiness and love and grace and power and purpose that you promise. Reconnect us today with you in a special, more meaningful way so that as we go, everyone that sees us will see the face of Christ. In his most holy name we pray. Amen. Does anyone do any cleaning up the first of the year, reorganizing? Is that a yes or a no? Pardon me, I picked up my annual holiday stuff. Was that a yes? Every year during the holidays, I like to go through things. Different projects each year, but always I go through the office and go through the file folders, which are less than they used to be. You know, technology makes it possible for us to not have all the hard copies that we used to have, but we still have them. There are always things that I just don't want to just throw in the trash and want to file away. I might need it sometime. But as I was going through and doing my reorganizing and cleaning up, I found something in my drawer I forgot I had. There was a time in my life that I did a lot of traveling. And I found just a small handful of frequent flyer cards. I thought, well, this is interesting. I got them out and I looked at them and I thought, this kind of ties in with our message today. There's one from TWA. Anyone remember TWA? Clive remembers TWA. Delta, still in business, but I guess barely. United Airlines, Korean Airlines, China Airlines, Dynasty, U.S. Air. They all had a purpose at one time to gather up some miles, most of which I lost because the airlines went out of business or didn't honor the mileage anymore. But I'm one of the lucky frequent flyers. For 38 years that I've traveled, airlines have only managed to lose my luggage one time. Can you believe that? Actually, they didn't lose it. 4 days later, it showed up at the hotel. It was just misplaced. It was lost, but it was found. Story of our message today. Actually, the story of Christmas. Actually, the true meaning of Christmas. You know, the airlines lose over 300,000 bags a year. Not misplaced. Lost permanently, never to be found again. You may have experienced that. Lost luggage, never to be found. Mine was lost, later found. I was one of the lucky ones. Have you lost anything this past year? I'm not talking about a handbag or a purse or glasses or a set of keys. If you lost anything this past year, or maybe are you losing something that's important to you? Anyone lost a job? Anyone lost their health insurance, or you have the fear that you may lose your health insurance? Anyone lost or feel like you're losing a relationship? It's important. Anyone lost joy? Hope? Purpose? promise? Feel like you're losing anything right now in your life? This is a great time of year for us to think about those things, because few of us, if any of us, do not find ourselves in a place where we either lost something that we really didn't want to lose, or we feel like we're in the process of losing something. How about our health? I'm not as young as I used to be. I see little things happening, changing, other than my hair loss. I have some aches and pains I used to not have. I had shoulder surgery a few years ago. Anyone feel like you're losing your health? You know, we can look at Christmas from many different angles. But I believe the scripture that we're going to look at today, that comes from Luke chapter 19, verse 10. In these few short words, Luke chapter 19, verse 10, they bear all the witness and all the truth to the meaning of Christmas. Actually, to the meaning of life. Why Christ came. Why we celebrate Christmas today. It says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus came. Christmas was, Christmas is, about Jesus coming to seek and to save the lost. The spiritually lost. Who are the lost? What does it mean to be lost? What does it mean to be lost from a relationship with the God that created you and me and the world? The Bible gives us a clear picture of what it means to be lost. If we look at what we've gotten to know as the three lost and found stories in the Bible, they're all separate, but they're connected together neatly in the chapter 15, Luke chapter 15. I'm not going to read all these verses. I'm just going to very, very briefly talk to these three stories that we're all familiar with. These stories explain what it means to be lost and what it means to be found. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. We know the story of the lost sheep. There were 100 sheep, right? There were 100 sheep. There was the shepherd, who is God. There are the sheep, who are us. Sheep are out just grazing around, having a good time, eating the grass, and having a great time. Not worried about anything because the shepherd is there looking over. Starts getting dark, and the shepherd knows that he's got to gather the sheep up, get them back to the little pen or corral or stable, whatever he has, so that they will be safe for the night. So he gathers them together, and they're running in the little corral there of the stable, and he's counting 97, 98, 99. There's one missing. He shuts the gate and he leaves frantically searching for that one lost sheep. And we know how the story goes. He finds the lost sheep, brings him back to the fold, to the rest of the sheep, and he has a party to celebrate this one lost sheep that he found and brought back to the rest. Has a party to celebrate. And then there's a story about the lost coin. You remember there's a poor lady that has 10 coins of value. And she loses one. Wasn't hard to do in those days because most of their floors were dirt and had straw on them. And so if a coin slips off the table and falls on the floor, it's kind of like finding a needle in a haystack. She's frantically searching for this one lost coin that's so valuable to her. And eventually she finds it. She calls her neighbors and they come over and they have a party. You know, that coin never lost its value, even though it was lost. It lost its potential, but it never lost its value. As a matter of fact, when something's lost, particularly if, like if you had a piece of fine art, you know, we've heard stories about a famous painting of Picasso or Rembrandt or whomever, and it's lost, and they say, oh, the value of that painting is worth $50 million. Or in fact, it may have been worth $2 or $3 million before it was lost. But it has no purpose when it's lost, but it doesn't lose its value. Then there's the story of the lost son, the man who had two sons. One son decided he wanted to leave home, take half of his inheritance, and head out to Sunset Strip, Jerusalem, and experience the world. The father gave him half his inheritance, and he had a grand time, spending his money apparently very quickly on the things of the world. And the Bible tells us that soon he found himself broke. And it goes on to say he was miserable. And we know that all his friends left. You know, that's what happens sometimes if we have a lot of friends because of maybe we're on a great bass boat and all of a sudden we have a lot of friends that are bass fishing with us, or we've got a great place that we can whitetail hunt and we have all these friends that show up and want to go hunt with us, and then all of a sudden we lose our lease and his friends are gone. This is what happened. The man was broke. The son was broke. All his friends are gone. He's miserable. And he starts thinking about home. He knows what he's done. He knows how he's messed up. He knows that he can't go home expecting his dad to forgive him, accepting back. His inheritance is gone. What he's done is inexcusable. But he remembers the servants. And he thinks, well, if I go home, maybe dad will accept me at least as a servant. At least I'll have food and clothing and a warm place to sleep. So he heads home, and we know what happens. He starts down the road towards the house, and there's dad is standing waiting on his dad, just goes running out to the son. He had to be smelly and stinky and dirty from living with those hogs, feeding the pigs. His dad wraps his arms around him. He falls to his knees and welcomes the son home. He puts a family ring on his finger that's like getting a platinum American Express card that he can leave home and purchase things because of what that ring represents. And they have a party. Have a party to celebrate the son who was lost, but now is found. The son never lost his value while he was away, but he lost his purpose. He lost the purpose that God establishes for each and every one of us before we are ever conceived in our mother's womb. The value is there, but when we're disconnected from our Creator, we have no potential. No real potential. What do I lose? What do I really lose when I am spiritually lost? Or when I've just disconnected myself for a short while because I have my own ideas. I want to do it my way. What do I really lose? The Bible tells us. The first thing that we lose is our direction. We can have no direction in life when we're disconnected from our Creator. We're wandering around like lost sheep. You know, the sheep never intended to be lost. Neither do we. I never really intended in my life to get disconnected from God, but I have found myself disconnected from time to time. When I decided to head in this direction or that direction, and later learn that it was my idea and it was not his idea. We lose our direction. We cannot have a direction in our life when we're disconnected. When we're lost, spiritually lost from our Father. The Bible tells us that all of us stray away from time to time. That we are lost when we stop following God's plan for our lives. The second thing we lose is we lose our protection, just like the sheep. When we're away from the Good Shepherd, you know, Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. When we are away from the protection of the hand of the Good Shepherd, there is no protection. Ever been there before? Ever been there out in the world on your own? Realizing all of a sudden how vulnerable you are? How vulnerable we've put ourselves in because of a unplanned, unwanted relationship? Hanging out with the wrong friends? We're like the sheep. We have no natural protection. And there are predators out there everywhere waiting to attack us when we leave the fold that was intended for our protection, for our Savior. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 2 says, "My people are like lost sheep, wandering without God's protection." God did not intend for us to go about life on our own. He didn't. If you think that's God's plan for you to go about life on your own, you are wrong. The Scripture says nothing about go out, give your life to Christ and just go out and do your own thing. That's not part of His plan. He has a careful, purposed plan for your life and mine. Because He loves us so much. But when we follow our own way, get disconnected, we're no longer protected. We're on our own. He allows that to happen when we're not obedient. Third thing we lose is we lose our potential. When I'm lost, separated from God, just like the coin, I still have incredible value. But I lose my potential. You know, a coin, any coin has value. And it has a purpose and it has potential. When it's connected to God. I shared a story on Christmas morning at another church that I was preaching at. This happened the week before Christmas. There was a young girl, almost a teenager, was released from a hospital, had no place to go, no family, at least that would take her in, no friends. She had the clothes on her back. And but for the grace of God having Nazareth Children's Home there, to be made aware of this girl being released to be on the streets, she had no place to go. She was handed over to some loving ladies at Nazareth who cleaned her up. She was as desperate as any person has ever been. I won't share the details of the story because of confidentiality, but it was a horrifying situation that she left at home. Horrifying. There was a man in Charlotte who decided some years ago to get connected to a Savior. And over time, this man became successful. And he made a good living. And God led him to Nazareth Children's Home because God had a purpose for his life and for his coins. And each year this man would purchase Walmart gift cards for all the children, for the 60, 70 kids, so that the house parents could take the kids to Walmart and they could buy them some things. And he always gave a few extra. And when this young girl was delivered at Nazareth, these house parents took her up to Walmart with one of the extra gift cards. And they bought her things that she had never had before, things that she needed. It wasn't about toys. It was about some underwear and clothes and shirts and things that she needed. And when she came back to Nazareth, because of the potential of that coin that that man had chosen to give, her life was changed forever. God provided her with protection that she had never experienced before because of this place. That's what God does with our values that have potential when we get connected to Him like this man in Charlotte had done some years ago. He takes our values and He invests them in the potentials that He has laid right out there before us. Ephesians 3:20 says that God can do mighty things far more than what you and I can imagine. Potential. God can do mighty things far more than what you and I can imagine. You know, you and I can come up with the greatest plans that our brains can imagine. And we can get so excited about them. And they can be great ideas. But compared to God's plan that He has for your life and mine, it's like a plan B or maybe a plan C. God's plan is an A triple plus. We cannot lose in life when we are connected to Him. That's His promise. Yes, life will be tough. We will have problems. We will lose our health. But then there's even eternity. We cannot dream of the things that God dreams about for you and for me. But we have to be connected for our value to be shown through our purposes in life. Little things. Great things. But all part of His plan. The fourth thing we lose in life when we're not connected, when we're lost, is we lose our happiness and our joy. I've been there. You ever been there? Disconnected. Your life a little confused. The joy's gone. Will I ever get it back? The answer is yes. If we quit looking at ourselves in the mirror and start looking upwards toward God, He promises us the happiness and the joy that we can find in no other place. You know, I know quite a few millionaires, as probably you do. I even know a couple of billionaires. I was with one last Friday in South Carolina. Most of them, not all, but most of them, have very little joy in their life. Yet most of us would love to win the lottery, wouldn't we? Having great wealth is not a bad thing. God blesses some of you with the ability to invest wisely and to save and to invest again. Why? So you can use those valuable things that you have built. Just like the people who were given, the three guys who were given the talents, invest them wisely. And He will show each of you what the purpose is that He has defined for your success. But even with our little things, as the Bible says, we're to invest wisely in Him. The final thing we lose is our home in heaven. If we're lost spiritually, there's no hope. There's no hope for a place in all eternity. The Bible says that there will be no rebellion in heaven. That's what it says. The Bible says there is one way, only one way for eternity. You know, there's a lot of people that believe that the answer to our problems lie somewhere in the neighborhood of Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C. And I got to tell you, at least in my lifetime, God has not sent the Savior to the White House. But He did send the Savior to the cross. Kind of a weird idea, isn't it? That's not what we would have done. We would have sent the Savior to the White House so that He could have helped manage us through all this stuff. God sent Him to the cross. A very unnatural thing to do from our perspective, right? But He had to, because He knew us. He knew that none of us would get it right. No matter how much we love Him, we just couldn't get it perfect. And it was because of the love that He has for you and for me, unworthy, that there was the cross. And because of that, we can have a party and we can celebrate His incredible plan and purpose and potential for our lives. There was a man not too long ago had a $100 bill. I don't have one. I can't even get that dollar bill to put in my pocket. I was going to have you to imagine it was a $100 bill. There was a man that was speaking to 6,000 prisoners in California. These were bad prisoners. And he held up this $100 bill and he said, "How many of you want this $100 bill?" You can imagine the response. Everybody wanted it. So he crumbled it up in his hand and he said, "How many of you still want it?" Everybody, of course, they still want it. So he spit on it. And he threw it on the floor and he hit his foot on it. "How many of you still want it?" They all still wanted it. That $100 bill lost none of its value, no matter what he did to it. And what he then did is he said to these 6,000 prisoners, he said, "You know, all of you have been crumbled up, spit on by your parents and your friends, torn into pieces, said that you're worthless, you have no value, you might as well be dead. But," he said, "I'm here to tell you that you have lost none of your value in the eyes of your God who created you. Your purpose has been misplaced by not being connected to the Father spiritually. But the good news is that there's a plan, and it's called salvation. And it is what sets us free. I came to seek and to save the lost." That's me. And that's you. He came to set us free, to bring joy back into our lives. To share all these promises with us. If we're connected, we have to be connected. If you don't believe that, how are you doing with your problems in life? How are you doing with them? Are you knocking them out? Are you solving them off? We can't. But He can. If we will give Him our lives, everything, all of us, He is our only focus. A lot of folks received iPads for Christmas. Anyone here receive an iPad for Christmas? We have one. We have two. That iPad is an incredible piece of technology, and I'm going to have one. I am. It is amazing what that thing can do and help you with. Matter of fact, I've been watching preachers on TV using them. Y'all seen some of the preachers on TV using little iPads now? Man, they're doing this and doing that, and it's incredible. They can look at three or four different, you know, scripture verses at the same time and all this. You take that battery out of the iPad, and it is worth nothing in terms of its potential. Hasn't lost its value, but it has no potential without that battery. We're the same way. If we get disconnected for just a moment, we're still valued, but we've lost our potential. God wants to reconnect us today in a way that we have never been connected to Him before. You know, for me, life has been a journey. There's a lot of stuff I still don't have figured out. But when I try to figure stuff out myself, the answers are not in the self-help books. Not for me. They're in Him. Last Thursday, I was in Raleigh going through my final testing and whatever you want to call it. It was the theological and doctrinal test. It was 8.5 hours of test. The first part was written. I say written, it's on the computer. And I'd already gotten through the personality stuff, which I passed that for some strange reason. And I've gone through several other assessments and things, but I got to the point, and they sent these three really smart, older gentlemen of the cloth down from Pennsylvania. And I did really good until the last 3.5 hours when it was going to be a verbal, oral test. And these three gentlemen walked in the room. They were a lot older than me. And I got a little bit anxious. I wasn't nervous, but I was a little, you know, I started thinking, you know, I'm not qualified really to answer the questions that these guys are going to throw at me. But then I was reminded that God qualifies us. And that anxiety went away. And 3.5 hours later, which went just like that. And there was one gentleman that had to be 90 years old, brilliant guy. He looked over at me, and he and I had started kind of connecting. And he's the one that just from first looks, he kind of scared me. But he started warming up to me as I started getting some of the questions right. And he got to the point where he was saying, right, that's good. And it started to encourage me. And we got through, and they said, okay, we just have one final question. So you've got all the answers right. This is amazing. So we have one final question. He says, how does God speak to you? And I remember not only studying from the Bible, but I remember that great book that Dr. Henry Blackaby wrote, Experiencing God. You've probably read. Most of you have probably read. If you haven't, read that book, Experiencing God by Dr. Henry Blackaby. But I remember what Henry Blackaby used to say over and over through this book. God speaks to us through His Word, His Holy Word. God speaks to us through the church body through you. And God speaks to us through His Holy Spirit. We have to be connected to His Word, to our Christian brothers and friends who we've learned to trust their advice, who care about me. And to His Spirit. That is being saved. That is having the potential, seeing the potential take place in our lives. Let me ask you this question. Do you need to be set free? I'm starting to act like a Baptist. It's almost 12 o'clock and I'm not done. Do you need to be set free from something? Do you need to be set free from the expectations of others? Trying to live up to others' expectations can be crippling and can cause great pain and separation. Anybody ever been there and experienced that? Some of us need to be set free from guilt. Jesus did not come to condemn. He came to set us free. Period. Free. Guilt serves no useful purpose but perhaps to lead us back to the Savior. But then He says, bury it. Put it behind you. I came to set you free. Some of us may need to be set free from bitterness or anger or an addiction. I have some bad news. You can't do it on your own. Anyone ever tried to make a New Year's resolution and didn't keep it? I have. You can't do it. God didn't intend for you to do it. He said, come to me. Let me show you how. And He will. He will do just that. Do you need to be rescued? Do you need hope? Purpose, power. You need to be loved. He will love you when no one else will. Second Corinthians 5:17 says that Jesus came to make peace between us and God. When we're connected. But we have to be connected. You know, John Newton wrote one of the most popular hymns of all time, Amazing Grace. We're actually going to end with that tonight. And if any of you have the courage to show up to hear our band perform, it will be a little different. But I believe you will enjoy. But we're going to close with Amazing Grace. And those of you who come tonight, we're going to ask you to sing with us. We'll save it for last. By the way, the choir, that was great. I love that anthem today. That was awesome. John Newton wrote that. He said, I didn't deserve nor did I understand how God could love someone like me. You remember who he was? He was a slave trader who found Christ. He said, I didn't deserve His grace. But once he committed his life, once he got connected, God sent him this unbelievable song that we still sing today, Amazing Grace. I did not deserve His grace. But He loved me anyway. The same applies for you. For all of us. We're His kids. He loves us. He wants us reconnected so that we can showcase our purpose to all the world. We have incredible value. We have all this potential. God says, get connected and let me show the world what I can do with your life. What have you lost this year? Or what do you feel you might be losing? Well, in one place that you can get it all figured back out, and that's with Him. And there are things that you can do that are so simple. I have, I like to close with one very short story. This is going to be a surprise to my wife. I did something incredible this morning. We watched a movie last night. It was one of those movies, I didn't go to sleep because it was one of those guy movies. You know, all the shooting and stuff. I love those movies. So I said, wait. Well, we had popcorn and drinks, and we had all these dirty dishes, and our future son-in-law just piled them into the two sinks, and they were all over the cabinets. Well, when my wife Andrew got up and left this morning, she went to the early service at Bex, and I stayed home working on a message, so I'm going to try to maybe get it right for you. And I did the most amazing thing. I went over to the house, and I put all those dishes in the dishwasher. Now, is that not amazing? You're almost clapping. You know, God says that our works will never save us. But the Bible says that when we are saved, people will see it through what we do. Right? I know washing those dishes or putting them in the dishwasher doesn't sound like a big deal, but I'm telling you, that was a big deal. It won't get me to heaven, but it will bring joy into our home, at least for the afternoon, right, babe? Baby steps. I mean, how many of you have only been married 30 years? 38 years, what do you expect? 38 years, right? What do you expect? That's His story. Take it or leave it. It's your choice. He doesn't force it on us. But it is His promises. Guaranteed, if we will just reconnect. Maybe even put some dishes in the dishwasher oil. Let us pray. Lord, it's been a privilege to be with you today. How you could do what you did for us. We can't comprehend it, but we appreciate it. We want to reconnect in a way like never before. Show us how to do that. Make us willing. When we've been holding back a little, we know you're still seeking to draw us closer. And I believe there's not a person here today that doesn't want all the good stuff that you promised. But we've got to be connected. help us to experience you today and tomorrow and every day that's left. And as we said earlier, may every single person that sees us, may they see the face of Jesus. And not what we say, but what we do. In the name of the Good Shepherd.